Clearly, our gospel reading contains two stories with one thread that ties them together. You have the healing of Jairus' daughter, and then you have the healing of the woman who was struggling with hemorrhages for years. Jairus first begs Jesus repeatedly to heal his daughter. There is an intense sense of urgency about him. Jesus must come at once. She's at the point of death. And so he does. But then Jesus senses the secret battle of this woman who touches his clothes and is healed. It's not clear if the delay caused Jesus to miss that window of time to heal Jairus' daughter and that she would be alive if he wasn't delayed. But then that news comes that she is already dead. And Jairus is told not to bother the teacher any longer. But Jesus defies this tragic news with words of hope to the father. Do not fear, only believe. Last week I was talking about this text with one of our longtime members, Jane Meyer. She said that I could absolutely share with you her insights into this text. That this scripture is designed to encourage us in our prayer life. Jesus wants to strengthen our trust in him. In Jane's words, my prayers are never a bother. God can multitask. This is a story of two people knocking at the same door at the same time. This morning we are here well over 100 knocking at the same door at the same time in prayer. We have a long list of people in our bulletin who have requested our prayers. Just down the street, in both directions, we have faithful Christians praying and knocking on the same door. People are in their homes praying, in their gardens. The faithful are in the hospital praying. God's people are praying in English, Romanian, Greek, Spanish, German, Swahili, Chinese, Russian, Haitian, Creole, just in Chicago at the same time. Imagine how much more chaos there would be in confusion if all of the faithful were gathered in Grant Park this morning, tugging on Jesus' clothes and knocking on his door in prayer. And yet, that is what we are doing every time we pray. Jesus does not stress out. He's not bothered. He can multitask, as Jane says. Are we bold to pray like Jairus? Or are we afraid to repeatedly beg and ask God to answer our prayer? Do we think we're pestering God? Does he understand our sense of urgency? Why does he delay in answering our prayers? And why would that cause us to lose hope? Are we bold to pray like that woman struggling with bleeding and hemorrhaging? Or are we paralyzed by our personal shame and secret struggle? Do we think we are invisible to God? Do we feel like God is unattainable? Or that he's too busy or occupied with more important matters? Jesus' words are, do not fear, only believe, he says. Opening the door to prayer, a welcome to come and worship him. He says it to Jairus, and in the hearing of the woman with the hemorrhage, he says it to Peter, James, and John so that they can hear, and to the crowd. And so he tells us not to fear, but only believe. as the hymn writer says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." This is not just bad theology. It's unbelief that God can hear 7.6 billion people praying at the same time in 6,500 different languages. We're not taking a load off God's back by withholding our prayers. We're not giving him time off. We're paralyzing ourselves by unbelief. The truth is, Jesus shares Jairus' sense of urgency. Jesus came from heaven to earth. The eternal Son of God took upon himself flesh, time, and space. He lived his few years under the same physical laws. But he is not bound by them, like you and me. One preacher's grandmother put it this way, wisely: God may not show up when we want him to, but he's always on time. Or as the scriptures say, God is not slow in keeping his promises, as some count slowness, but patient toward you. He wants to hear your begging. He wants to hear your secret prayers. Jesus is not constrained by our schedules, but he understands that you and I are. And our understanding is limited. We cannot step outside the universe and look in and gain God's perspective as he can. But God does not want us to fear and despair and to lose hope. He wants us to trust in him who sustains the universe by the word of his power. He invites us to cast all our anxieties upon him, as scripture says, because he cares. So go ahead, repeatedly beg, cry out in urgency, quietly sneak in your prayers through the throng of those clamoring for Jesus' attention. Pray boldly. Do not fear. Only believe. God understands our time crunches, just as he understands very well our agony of chronic pain and illness. He knows our stories. He knows how our children and our young people mean the world to us. He knows that we can suffer at the hands of physicians for years and years, who may not always be able to heal the body and certainly cannot heal the soul. He knows our battle with time and space. And he says to us, do not fear, only believe. Pray boldly. Have the audacity to beg repeatedly. Have the nerve to interrupt God, even though you're not. Presume God is not irritated, not overwhelmed, not too busy for your problems or mine. Do not fear, only believe. Jesus took upon himself the burden of the whole world's sin, of all time, and past, present, future. He can handle the load we put on him. He rose victoriously from the dead to assure us not to fear death or any obstacle that comes our way. Boldly pray, no matter what comes your way. Surrender every apprehension. Trust in him who surpasses comprehension. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.